All right, praise the Lord on this December the 19th, Lord's Day Sunday morning. Tomorrow will be me and my wife's anniversary. We'll be married 46 wonderful years. I don't know how in the world a woman could put up me that long, but I give her a salute and honor. Last Sunday was the first time that our church has never been open. We've never closed the services, not one time during the pandemic here at Landmark. But our last Sunday, due to no heat, no light, no power, we closed the services last Sunday. I regret, but I felt like, you know, that we need to consider everybody been sick. Our song leader was sick. Gave him a break there, Brother Jerry. And he's supposed to be here today. Had 77 people to die from, I don't know how many tornadoes there was, but extreme devastation. From those tornadoes, and a lot of people's hurt, a lot of people died, a lot of things just destroyed, brought leveled, and we're glad to be back today, glad to be in the house of God, glad to be ready to praise the Lord. I mean, instant, in season, out of season, and we want to thank Chris Walls for praying. Seen on there, she was praying for the church. Praying for us, praying for the work of God. We just thank God for that. I'll take all the prayers I can get, amen. And we always stand in need of prayer. And speaking of prayer, we want to remember Brenda Holland. She's sick and not going to be able to go to church today. And a friend of mine, his name is Dale Cross. He's in jail. His father died this year. And his mother died while he was in jail. And I've known Dale for probably 30 years. He's just an old country boy. But he's a pretty good boy. I don't know. I want to remember him in prayer. Yeah. That Lord to get him out of jail, get him back. He's the last one left in his family, but get him back in his home.
Yes.
And there's a whole long list of people that are sick right now. We'll just have to put them in the category of unspoken. And we'll go to God in prayer right now. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Lord, that you've given us to gather in your house. We thank you, Father, for every opportunity, Lord, you give us to give you praise and glory. Lord, we come to you this morning, Father, on behalf of these, Lord, that we've mentioned. Lord, Brenda, Lord, she's sick. We just pray, Lord, you'd visit her. Father, Lord, you're the great physician. Lord, they couldn't even have a funeral while you was around. You'd raise the dead at your parents, Lord. The dead got up, spake, eat, and Lord, they lived. We pray for Brenda Holland. I pray, Lord, for Chris Walls. Thank you for her prayers. Thank you, Lord, for her faithfulness, Lord, to visit us by way of internet. We pray, Lord, for Dale Cross, friend of mine, Lord's in jail. And Lord, you know more about this matter than I do. But I pray, Lord, that Father, you be merciful to him. And if he has done anything, Lord, I pray you make it right. I don't understand this situation. I've just been praying for him. Yes. And Lord, I've got several people that I want to pray for. Yes. As unspoken requests. Yes. That you know very well the needs in each one, Lord.
Yes, that's right.
And I pray for Sister Bonnie's son, Billy. Lord, pray, Lord, you'd help him, Lord. Lord, we just pray, God, he'd get a clean bill of health. I pray, Lord, Father, for Mark and Kay Hurt, Lord, both of them, Lord. Lord, getting frail, getting feeble. We pray for them, Lord. I pray more earnestly, Father, that Kay not have to get back on dialysis. And, Lord, we just got a lot of people sick. We pray Brother Jerry be here today. Pray be feeling better, Lord. We just thankful for Brother Jerry, our song leader.
Yeah.
And Lord, just all, Lord, that are needing prayer, Lord, we just lift them up to you, Father, in just humble prayer.
Right.
In Jesus' name, ask, Lord, you to help them to get better. Pray, Lord, Father, for comfort for those that lost loved ones during this devastation.
Yes.
We pray for those, Lord, that were injured, that they might recover. And I pray for those that were spared, Lord, that they might remember, Lord, the grace of God got them through that. And Lord, in all these things, we just ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We'll be teaching this morning out of Romans. When we do finish this book of Romans, we're going to go to the book of Genesis. I look forward to getting in Romans, but I'm even more so looking into getting in the book of Genesis. Amen. We forgot so much. Amen. About our Creator.
Yeah.
And also about the judgments of God and about the help of God and the mercy of God. So we're going to go to Genesis after Romans. We finished up last week Romans chapter 3, verse 20, and we're going to finish out Romans chapter 3. Now, all the way down to verse 20, Paul's bringing to mind that by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Right.
The law of God is a schoolmaster to show us our need of Christ. It brought us to Christ if you've been saved. And if you've not been saved, it's because you've not heeded what that law says. Right now, we've got people breaking and looting stores. Mm-hmm. They forgot the law says, thou shalt not steal. We got people shooting one another right in broad daylight now. They don't even try to do it under cover of darkness. They're shooting people right in broad daylight. They forgot the law said, thou shalt not steal.
That's right.
And then we got Congress members. I won't name their name, but you'll know by what I'm saying here. That have been doctoring text messages to convey a lie to further their agenda. By the way, they got caught at it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they did.
Yeah.
But that says, thou shalt not lie. And there's a lot of things about the law that would even help today. It won't necessarily help you make it to heaven, but it'll help you not to be struck dead on the way to get to heaven. Amen. You know, you got to be born again to go to heaven.
Yeah.
And this says, by no work, or we read verse 19, we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. Here's the purpose of the law, that all the world may become guilty before God. The law puts the finger on the problem. And we'll bring that out even more clearly in verse 23. But by the deeds of the law, no work you could ever do will ever justify you in the sight of God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Now, our lesson today is on justification. And I will teach you today how to be justified in the sight of God if you'll listen to me this morning.
Right.
Good to see Sister Sharon here this morning.
Yeah, amen.
She had a close encounter. I could tell by the damage on my way to Bowling Green taking my wife to the hospital that it got real close to Sharon and Snoopy.
Yeah.
And I could tell by her being here this morning, she was spared, amen.
Yeah.
But she got real close because, I mean, it come right up through there. It says, verse 21, our first verse in our lesson this morning. And this lesson is justification defined. Justification by faith in Christ alone for the remission of sins. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God. Don't forget that. This righteousness come from God.
That's right.
But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets point to Jesus.
Amen. That's
amen.
Right.
Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness
right.
to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And they all point like a compass. The law and the prophets all point to Jesus. You're not going to make it without Jesus. The Bible says, he that hath the Son has life. He that hath not the Son has not life. That's pretty simple, pretty clear. There's no missing what that says. You got to have Jesus. And if you've ever been saved, you've been made complete in Him. Colossians chapter 2 says, You're not missing nothing. What you was missing was fulfilled by Jesus. He made me whole. I'm complete now. Been born again as of 33 years, soon to be 34 years. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. You couldn't get it before Jesus, but now it's been manifested and it's been witnessed by the law and the prophets, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and I'm one of them, and upon all, and I'm one of them, them that believe, and I do believe. I believe Him not only for the forgiveness of my sins, but salvation from sin. Amen. And I want you to know you better believe too, buddy. I'll just tell you right now, there's no other way to get in the family of God except through faith. And it says, upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. Now we got all kind of, somebody help me here, systematic racism or something going on down there. You know, everybody wants their rights now, you know. They want to tear all the statues down and you know, they want to rearrange it to where it'll somehow accommodate them. Well, listen, God's already done that. Though millions have come, there's still room for one, and there's room at the cross for you. Amen. Jesus said in John 6:37, all that come to me, I will in no wise turn away. Now, I got accepted in the Beloved because I went to the cross as a lost sinner. And I confessed that I was a sinner. And I asked for forgiveness. And I believed God to save me. I know that sounds like a lot, but it was really simple. I just said, Lord, I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I'm praying you forgive me my sins, save my soul. It was a done deal.
Amen.
It wasn't hard. It was harder to get lost than it was to get saved. And the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. God included me in the plan. If you're seeing me or hearing me today, God included you in the plan.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you right now, if you're not saved, go look in the mirror and you'll find out where the problem is.
Right.
Jesus mentioned it in John chapter 5, verse 40, when He said, you will not come to me that you may have life.
Amen.
I come to Him 33 years ago. Next year, praise God, the good Lord be willing, I'll balance the books. April the 27th, 2022, Eddie Wade will be saved 34 years. I was 34 years old when I got saved. I am looking forward to that day, and good Lord be willing, whether I live that long or not, I done made it. It ain't like I've got to make it to that day. I've already made it, but I'm going to enjoy that day because that was the day that I call upon Him that's rich in mercy to all that call upon Him. You are included. You are welcomed. Now listen, me slow down here. The welcome mat is on the door of heaven right now. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9, He said, I am the door.
Amen.
There's no other door.
That's right.
I'm sorry if that offends you. I'm sorry if it don't line up with what you believe in. You know, God's not no respecter of person, and God forbid that I should be one myself. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Jesus said, I am the door.
Yeah.
He said, if any man enter in, he shall be saved.
Amen.
The welcome mat is on the threshold of the door of heaven. All through the Bible it says, come, come unto me. Come, come now. Let us reason together. There's invitations all through the Bible to come. Why would you come? Yeah, Donnie.
Amen.
His favorite verse is Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And you know, Paul talked about many have done harm to the simplicity that's in Christ. Even a little child can can understand that if they can get to Jesus, they can get saved.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Now I want to go back again to that all. All are welcome.
Hey, all means all.
Acts 4, verse 12. No other name is given whereby we must be saved except that name of Jesus. You're not going to make it to heaven any other way. No. And if you could, you'd be a thief and a robber. And like Brother Ed said this morning, you might make it to heaven and you won't get to stay there.
That's right.
You just be there long enough to get judged and know why you're going to hell. Amen. Yeah.
I wish everybody in this church this morning could be sitting where I'm sitting right now. Brother Ed is teaching one of the best Sunday school lessons that I've heard in a long time.
Yeah.
Now, the one he preached the week before last was good, but this one is super, super special. And then I've got Dallas Fuller, F-U-L-L-E-R, on here preaching to me at the same time Eddie is, and they're right in line together. I'm telling you what.
Amen.
In church this morning. It's just glorious to look at this thing and read what this man is preaching on here this morning.
Amen.
Now, verse 22 talks about that righteousness of God. You got to have that.
Yes.
Now, I've done made reservations. I'm going to heaven. I don't know when. May go today. Be all right with me.
Yeah.
But no matter when, I'm going. I'll tell you right now, it's not up for chance or choice. I'm going. I've done made my reservations.
We're out of here.
But even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there's no difference. Verse 23 is in here. Here's another all. For all have sinned.
Yes.
And come short of the glory of God. I came short. I was a sinner.
Yeah.
I needed to be saved. And I'm glad I was included in the plan of God.
Amen.
Now we're going further to talk about this justification of God.
Yeah.
It mentions about the righteousness of God, verse 21. The righteousness of God, verse 22. And now we're going to talk about justification. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Now you can have this justification. You better have it. Because without it, I'm telling you right now, you're going to come up short. They measured me this week. I applied for some more life insurance. And this girl said I was 6'1" tall. Well, measuring that way is one way, but measuring by Jesus Christ would be this way. I would have to walk up to Jesus and be as righteous as He is to go to heaven. I can't do it. I come short.
That's right.
So He gave me His righteousness. That's that unspeakable gift. That's the gift of God. He gave me His righteousness, and that measured me up.
Yeah.
And now I'm accepted in the Beloved.
Absolutely.
Now I'm as righteous as He is. Paul said, and being found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is after the law, but His righteousness imputed to me, the righteousness of Christ.
Yeah.
He gave me what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
That's that justification.
That's right.
Being justified freely. How much it cost you, Brother Eddie? It didn't cost me nothing, but it cost Him everything.
Yeah. You know what that means to me, Brother Eddie? I'm just as saved today as I was the day I asked Him to come to my heart. It doesn't matter how long I live here on this earth, I'm just as saved as I was the day I asked Him to come into my heart.
Amen, Brother Ed.
It means to me.
It says, being justified freely by His grace. It was His grace that said, Eddie, go in peace.
Yeah.
You're forgiven.
Oh, yeah.
It was His grace. He said, Eddie, I blotted it out.
Yeah,
you're a free man.
Yeah, that's right.
He took away all of my sins, put them under His blood, cast them in the sea of forgetfulness to remember no more against me. I mean, I got a clean slate. Somebody said, boy, I wish I could start all over again. You can in Jesus.
Yeah.
He'll give you a clean slate. And that redemption that's in Jesus, or it's in Christ Jesus. There's not any redemption in nothing else. He is our Redeemer. I was getting some Christmas cards together, and I was going to pass these right here out. It's a good card. It takes a faithful heart to hear the praise of angels in the voices of a choir,
yes,
to see the miracle creation and the perfection of the snowflake, and to find the joy of salvation in a humble manger birth. I like that.
Yeah.
And I like this here, wishing you the gift of Christ and the peace of Christmas. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
All I didn't like is just this one verse here, and it's NIV. And it says, this day a Savior has been born to you. Now, in the King James Bible, it says, and I'm just going to show you the sublimity of this.
Yeah, well,
Savior is spelt with seven letters in the King James Bible.
Right.
It's spelt with six right here. Savior with six is somebody that pulls you out of a burning house. Somebody that keeps you from drowning, goes in, pulls you out of the water.
Oh,
somebody that
yeah.
pulls you out of a car wreck or something like that.
Yeah.
That's that kind of Savior. But Savior with seven letters is a Redeemer.
Amen.
That's someone that has redeemed you. That you yeah. see this sublimity here. I really don't have a big problem with this, but I would rather have that spelt with seven letters, and then the next two words says has been. He's never been a has been.
No,
he said before Abraham was, I am. He's not a has-been.
Amen.
But anyway, I just want to throw that in there. I didn't really get a lot of joy out of reading that. And it's still a good card. It won't offend no one. I can live with it. At least like Paul said, nevertheless Christ is preached. Mm-hmm. Some to envy, some to strife.
Yeah.
Hey, I want his name in there. Amen.
That's right.
All right. Verse 25. Whom God have set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, listen to this,
yeah.
to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now that verse says a lot.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Now there are some people, and I ain't going to call their name out, but they took all the songs out that has anything to do with the blood.
Amen.
They don't have any song books that has anything to do with the blood because they call it a slaughter house religion. Well, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And in Isaiah 53, it says He is led as a lamb
yes.
to the slaughter.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, you can
yeah.
call it a slaughterhouse religion if you want to, but I just want you to know without that blood, listen to this verse, please. In whom God have set forth, God done this,
that's right.
to be a propitiation.
That's right.
Through faith in His blood, to know that Jesus shed His blood for you to be forgiven. He's the Passover lamb. God saw that blood, accepted that blood, and that's how I got forgiven.
Amen. That's right.
Through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins. Without that blood, you're still in your sins.
That's right.
It's true. Amen.
That are passed, listen to this, through the forbearance of God. God saw that blood just like He did in Egypt. He said, put blood on the door.
Yeah, that's right.
Egypt in Exodus chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you put blood on that door.
Uh-huh.
And He said, when I see the blood,
I'll pass
over you.
Yeah.
Don't stand before God without the blood.
That's right.
Christ,
that's
our Passover,
right.
was crucified for us. He put His own blood on the cross, on the ground,
yes,
a payment for my sins, for your sins.
Thank you, Jesus.
He purchased the church with His own blood.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, I saved my blood donor. Amen. I'll just tell you, He gave His blood for me to be saved.
That's good.
And through the forbearance of God, I'm now accepted in the family of God because of the blood that was shed on the old rugged cross on a hill far away. I'm just telling you, brother, there's a love in that song that cannot be denied.
That's right.
Verse 26, to declare. It's a declaration here. Paul's saying to the church in Rome, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. Now we're talking about the righteousness of God. And my righteous but filthy rags, I don't really have anything to offer God but disappointment. But I accepted what He offered for me. And by accepting what He offered for me, not only did Jesus not die in vain, but the joy that was set before Him, that He was willing to endure the cross, despising the shame, His death now is not in vain. There'll be a lot of people that even though He died for them, they'll die in their sins because they didn't accept this declaration. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. You know, I don't know why Cain didn't offer a first one. I know he's a till of the ground. But he offered a bloodless sacrifice.
Yeah.
And God didn't accept it. Right. Cain got mad, killed his brother Abel.
Yeah.
First murder was over religion.
Right.
But God declared His righteousness, and Abel brought blood. God accepted the blood. Brought the firstling of his flock, offered it to God. God declares at this time His righteousness, that He might be just, and God is just. I want you to really listen to me right here. This is a good verse. That God, that He might be just, and He is just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Not only is God just, but He justified me through the sacrifice of His own Son. Through the shedding of the blood of His own Son, God now can be just in justifying me, not giving me what I deserve, but giving me what I don't deserve through the grace of God that was shed abroad through His Son Jesus.
Amen.
Now after you get all of this justification down pat, Paul says in verse 27, where is boasting then? And a lot of people do want to boast a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a member over at this church. Well, my preacher, his name's this. And all of that's okay. But just remember this. Don't leave Jesus out of that boasting.
Amen. Right. There you go.
Paul's concluding here. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. You can't boast in anything but Jesus. Mm-hmm. Paul said, I claim to know none other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
That's right.
And you know what? You'd be better off just keep your mind on Christ.
Yeah.
That way you won't get mixed up, won't get carried away. But he says, by what law of works? Well, by what law of works? Two question marks there. Nay, but by the law of faith, verse 28, wherefore we conclude, in other words, this is the end of the matter right here, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, I got justified when I got saved. And just as if I never sinned is kind of what that means.
Yeah.
Even though I was a sinner, even though I had an ocean of sins, God took care of every single one of them. He mentions that in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, saith the Lord, let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red as crimson, He can handle the greatest sinner. No matter what. He said, I'll make him white as snow, I'll make him as wool. He can clean you up. There's no boasting except in Him. He said, a man is to be justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now the law pointed me to Jesus. And through Jesus, I got justified. And now I walk by faith and live by faith. And the Bible said, if I withdraw, his soul have no pleasure in me. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you're not going to get too far without faith. But through faith, I'll tell you right now, you can go all the way. Amen. Verse 29, is he the God of the Jews only? And you know, a lot of people, like I said, we've got a lot of division going on down here right now. We got the color people's skin division. We got the division of wealth and poverty. We got the division of politics. We got the division, you know, they're trying to stir this pot, you know, to make us more divided, conservative, liberal. You know, I can't think of so many ways we're divided right now. But he says here, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. They don't want to include, but God does want to include you in the plan.
Yeah.
They want it just to be pertaining to them. It's kind of a selfish thought, but it's the way a lot of people think. And verse 30, seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision, that's the Jews, by faith, and uncircumcision through faith, that's the Gentiles. One God made them all, loves them all, died for them all, and forgives all, but they still want to make strife here and try to say, I'm a Jew, I'm a Cephas, I'm a Paul's, I'm of Christ. They try to put division there. Paul said in verse 31, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. And that finishes up Romans chapter 3. And we're going to get just a little ways here in Romans chapter 4. He says again to the church at Rome, what shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh have found? Now Abraham did find something. And he found it in his Lord and his God. He said, for if Abraham were justified by works, he have whereof to glory, but not before God. But what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And Abraham, he found favor in God through faith. He believed God. And he staggered not at the promise of God. He was rich in faith. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is a reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And a lot of people are trying to work their way to heaven.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are trying to figure out a way there by a spaceship or a ladder or whatever they can get. They want to go to heaven. They just don't want to go God's way. But verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, that don't even sound fair. Here's a guy that don't do nothing. Well, let's just say he's an invalid. He can't do nothing. Let's just say he's been bedfast since birth. Got to be carried everywhere he goes. Let's just say that he's not able to do any work. Physically, he's restricted. That's why this verse is in here. Because we got people that can't do nothing.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
To him that worketh not, you know that thief on the cross, he didn't get to do nothing.
No.
He didn't get a chance to get baptized.
Right. Come on, brother.
He didn't get a chance to join the church.
That's true.
He didn't get a chance to sing any songs, give any praise. But I'll tell you what he did get a chance to do.
Amen.
Lord, remember me.
Yes. Yes.
When you come in your kingdom, he appealed to the mercy of God, and Jesus turned to him and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You ought to thank God that verse is in there.
Amen. Yeah.
That means all are included, none are excluded. Verse 6 says, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness. That word imputeth is important. Without works. In other words, God gave him his righteousness without him doing anything. Just by grace, he got saved. Through faith,
right.
That not of himself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2:8-9. There are people that are going to go to heaven that may not even be recognized down here even as a sinner. Just in their heart they believe God to forgive them and to save them. And even though they don't blow their horn, and even though they don't do any great works, they're still accepted on the merits of faith in the finished work of Calvary. Jesus didn't make a down payment. At Calvary, He said it's finished. He finished the work of the righteous of God. Whoever will accept the finished work of God on the merits of the suffering and sacrifice of Jesus, and by their faith in that sacrifice and merit of Jesus, they can get saved. Verse 7, saying, blessed are they. And praise God for that. I'm glad I am blessed. Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, I was on the outside looking in. Now I'm on the inside looking out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. They wrote a song called What Sin? Psalm says, so far has He removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to remember no more against us. God's got the cure for sin. And listen to this about sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's found over here in Romans chapter 6, the last verse, verse 23. Sin, James said, when it's finished, it brings forth death. And you know, blessed be the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Sin is a serious matter. I know Hebrews talked about that Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And sin's like that. It's a short season too, buddy. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 25, talking about Moses, says, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin's not only a season, it's a short season. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you right now, sin will wreck your life, ruin your life. It'll turn it upside down. But God has got the cure for sin. He's got the help that man needs battling sin, and we all do battle sin. I'm telling you right now, it's not like you can find a place to hide from sin. Sin, it'll come to your door, knock on your door, try to get in, and it'll get in before you even know it. And we're supposed to flee from every appearance of sin. We don't. But sin, it's kind of like the cancer of our day. It tries to consume you. It tries to distract you, get your mind off of God and on something else.
Yeah.
Verse 9. Come up this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, and that's talking about the Jews, or upon the uncircumcision also, talking about the Gentiles. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in circumcision. Paul's mentioned here that Abraham got this blessing before he got circumcised, is what he's trying to convey the thought here. He's talking to Jews, and they kind of boast about being circumcised. They kind of boast about Abraham being their father. And Paul here, through the wisdom God gave him, he says, I want you to understand that Abraham got that blessing, got that righteousness from God before he got circumcised. And that circumcision was a covenant between him and God to have that blessing. But he got it before he got circumcised. Verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteous might be imputed to them also. Paul's conveying on here about circumcision doesn't have a thing to do with salvation or righteousness. And it's not as easy to do as it sounds. So he brought this out real good here, saying Abraham was made righteous before he got circumcised, and that circumcision was a token of the covenant God made with him. Verse 12, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, who walk also in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. Now, to the child of God, there is a circumcision mentioned in the Bible. It's in the book of Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, it mentions about a circumcision. Verse 11, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. In other words, you can't do this circumcision.
That's right.
And putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Through Jesus Christ, our heart was circumcised without hands. Verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcised of your flesh, he have quickened together with him and have forgiven you all trespasses. That circumcision separated us from our sinfulness and our flesh. And now, praise God, we can say we have eternal life, because every sin that a man committeth is with his own body. God circumcised us without hand, the circumcision of our heart, and he triumphed over the principalities of powers of darkness and gave us victory. And we got victory in Jesus. Now that's a deep subject. You study this out. But in Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 10,
yeah,
read down to verse 13 and take your time. Read it, pray over it. There's a deep truth revealed right there in Colossians chapter 2. And we're talking about circumcision today. And the Jews, they didn't want to eat with uncircumcision. They didn't want to have any fellowship with uncircumcision. Paul confronted Peter, because when the uncircumcision showed up, Peter withdrew himself from Cornelius and his family, even though he just wanted them to God. There's just a lot of strife, a lot of separation. Paul's doing a good job here saying faith is what's important.
That's right.
Not the circumcision of the flesh, but the circumcision of the heart. And I don't want to stop on verse 13. We'll stop right there at verse 12. Romans chapter 4, verse 12. Anybody got any questions about anything? It went pretty deep today. Actually, I didn't realize it was going to go that deep. Anybody got any comment or any questions or anything about what we taught on this morning? Thank God for having a Bible.
Amen.
The Bible is the end of all questions and all genealogies, all strife. It all can be fulfilled by the Bible.
Yeah.
Nobody can ask me a question and I can't take the Bible and give them a Bible answer. And thank God for it. I think we're getting back to the Bible more today than we have in a long time. I heard a lot of young people are taking the time to read their Bible. They're encouraging to begin this year. Everyone read their Bible through this upcoming year.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be called Bible Year for everybody to undertake reading your Bible through next year. I'll tell you this, if they do that, it'll be different. I'll tell you right now, buddy, you won't be walking in darkness no more. You won't be stumbling over the things you've been stumbling over all along. You'll have a lamp under your feet and light in your path. You'll be able to see what's coming before it ever even gets to you. I would to God that people would read their Bible.
Amen. You know, when you first started out, you started teaching on patience. And this Dallas, he wrote on here, he said, people don't believe that God runs out of patience. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, that was a good answer.
That's true.
Yeah. That was a good answer. Yeah.
He didn't care too much for them seven spies, or I guess it would be eight spies, brought back that evil report from the promised land too, but he killed them.
Yeah, that's right.
And all through the Bible you see where God ran out of patience.
Yeah.